The shiur tonight is dedicated to Le'ilui. Four massive Talmidei Chachamim and rather unique individuals who made an unbelievable contribution to Klal Yisrael b'meshech many, many doros, many generations. The first is Hagoyin HaRav Avidan, who was the Rosh Hashira of Shalabim for many, many years. I was zoche to meet him a number of times, and every conversation I had with him was of a lumdisher, brisk nature. He himself was very mekurav to a number of Gedolei Yisrael. He was besides being a Rosh Hashira in Shalabim, he was a Rav Tzvai. Very fascinating personality. Someone who had a brisket tzad to him, very strong brisket tzad, tremendous talmid chacham, at the same time, very much connected to Klal Yisrael in a very down-to-earth kind of way. It was an extraordinary person, and his loss is certainly a major aveda for Klal Yisrael. The second, Hagoyin Rav Shmuel David HaLevi Soloveitchik, I only met him when I saw him walking in the streets of Geula. That's the extent of my connection with him. I did not know him, but I once heard one word from him, and perhaps I'll say it over. It's actually related to the topic I'm going to discuss in Yetz Hashem the next few days, which is the Koyach HaTfilah, Tfilah B'Tzibur, and how so significant and so important is the charisma and the power of davening to Hashem Yisbarach. In the context of what we just read in last week's parsha, that Klal Yisrael are in a beleaguered situation. I spoke about it a little bit on Shabbos morning. The Yam in front of us, a raging sea, torrential waters, the Egyptians pursuing us. And at one point, Klal Yisrael cry out to Hashem, "Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ma titzak Eloi, daber al b'nei Yisrael b'yisol." So Rashi says that we learned from there that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Lo eisato laharich b'tfilo she Yisrael nesunim b'tzara." In other words, what Rashi is suggesting, that this tefillah, that they're davening, mitocha hakora, ke'en ol milvado, such a tefillah, there's no way that cannot be accepted by Hashem Yisbarach. So when Klal Yisrael nosim b'tzara, there's no need v'harek b'tefillah, because in a tefillah k'tzara, that Klal Yisrael issue, mitocha hakora m'meya, mi'en ol milvado, our tefillahs will be answered. That's how Hagoyin Rav Meshulam David HaLevi Soloveitchik Zatzal interpreted the Rashi. Not the simple pshat in Rashi according to Rav Meforshim. Rav Meforshim understand the Rashi that now is not the time to daven. Whether Achaim HaKadosh understands it, now is the time for Mesiras Nefesh, because Klal Yisrael were literally under the threat of death, a rather ominous threat. Halalu Avdi Avodah Zarah, Halalu Avdi Avodah Zarah. Why should we be zochet to be saved any more than the Egyptians and the Mitzrayim? So now is not the time for tefillah. But Hagoyin Rav Meshulam David HaLevi Soloveitchik Zatzal, whose levaya was today, suggested a different pshat that I mentioned just now in the pasuk, namely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Lo eis ato laharich mitfilah." There's no need for an arichus. When call yourselves in a state of tzara and recognize Hashem is barach, right away, our tefillahs are going to be accepted. And I often think of that pshat of Rav Meshulam David HaLevi Soloveitchik in the corona period that we find ourselves in. We are literally betwixt and between. We are bedeviled. We are flummoxed. We are bewildered. We don't have a clue. Doctors don't have a clue. Every other day, something else comes to the fore. This mutation, that mutation. We have a vaccine, Baruch Hashem, that seems to be working more or less effectively against the virus, and yet so many other variants come into play on an ongoing basis. So any tefillah mima'amakim, undoubtedly, if somebody said, Arasalavichik Zatzal, is certainly going to be accepted by Hashem's Baruch. I believe he cited a medrash, if I'm not mistaken, with Yaakov Avinu, we find a similar medrash, that Yaakov Avinu is confronted with 400 soldiers from Esav, and the medrash tells us as well, with Rebbe Menashe, who was a terrible king, a Rasha Marusha, someone who spread out of the Zora, who was evil in many, many respects, incarnate, but at the end of his life, at the end he quotes in the Shari Tshuva, Yerushalmi, that Chata Chatira Tachas Kisi HaKovod, he was in such a Zora, and nothing helped him, but finally he came to the Maskana at the end of Akara Sabori, and he davened to Hashem Yisbarach and the Malachim. They essentially waged a war against him that Hashem should not be mekabel his tefillah, and yet Hashem was mekabel his tefillah. Why? He lived the life he was wallowing in Avodah Zarah his entire life. He was in Melech Rasha Merusha, and yet tefillah mitach hakara maleya. There's no way that that tefillah cannot be acceptable, and that's what Hagoyin Rabbi Shulam David Aliyev Soloveitchik said over. I think he added a number of other elements, and I'll try to recall them, that everyone, when Klal Yisrael is in a difficult situation, in a beleaguered matzav as we are today, we have to be mevatel all the machshavas of kelichi v'etzim yodi yosali asachayil hazeh. Many doctors, and I'm in contact with infectious disease doctors on a weekly basis, many of them have told me they are literally beside themselves, because every time they think they have some understanding of what is happening, something else emerges. So ultimately, the lesson of all this is Ein Oid Milvado. And unquestionably, when we come to that Hakara, then Hashem Yisbarach will respond to our tefillos. So he sent over Rav Meshulam David Alevi Soloveitchik Zatzal. He's a cousin, a first cousin of our Rebbe, Marenu Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik Zatzal. The Rav actually didn't come to Eretz Yisrael except once in 1935, but I knew that he spoke to his cousins on a relatively periodic basis. Kach Shamati, not only that, Rav Soloveitchik raised money for Brisk in Eretz Yisrael, even though he was not necessarily in sync with their hashkofa, with their perspective on life and in general, but he felt Mitzvah Chalitz Yisraelim. So Rav Meshulam David Halevi Soloveitchik said over that once they wanted to hear from Rabbi Shulei Diskin, the Raven Brisk, the Maril Diskin, what's the Hagdara of Yerushalayim of his father? Rabbi Shulei's father, Rabbi Yamin Diskin, the Diskin orphanage home in Yerushalayim is named after him. So they wanted to know what is the definition of his level, of his quotient of Yerushalayim. So he said that once the people of the city, they came actually to ask his father regarding a Sefer Torah that fell down. It fell down apparently on the ground, Lo Aleinu. And he, the Brisker of Rabbi Shulei, the son of Agoyin Rabbi Yamin Diskin, was there in the hallway before they came to his father. And he had a discussion with them, a halachic discussion regarding what they're obligated to do. Then they entered the room where Agoyin Rabbi Yamin Diskin was found. And before they finished telling him the entire story that the Sefer Torah fell, he already fainted, merov pachad. When he heard what happened, he went into a faint, he went into a swoon, and he said, that was the Yir HaShamayim of Agoyin Rabbi Yamin Diskin. I think they asked a similar question. That's what Rav Meshulam David Halevi Soloveitchik said as well. They asked Rav Chaim Briska about his father, the Beit Halevi, Rav Soloveitchik, from Boston, our Rebbe, is named after the Beis Halevi, his great-grandfather. So Rav Chaim said over the following story. All this I heard from Rav Meshulam David Halevi Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim said over the following story that once, in one of the winter nights, one of the cold winter nights, he came back home very late. There was a very strong wind and a very powerful rain that was coming down. And he didn't want to knock on the door of the Beis Halevi because he saw the Beis Halevi. The light was on, he was learning, didn't want to interfere with him, and he began to
walk outside, but it was pouring. And after a while, the Beis Halevi realized and somehow sensed that there was someone outside, and he told him quickly, come in. Of course, Rav Chaim, the Beis Halevi's son, was totally drenched, was completely saturated. The Beis Halevi almost disregarded that, and right away began to discuss with the son the sugya that he was involved in. And he asked Rav Chaim, what exactly have you to say? What chiddush have you to say about the matter? And then, of course, he suddenly realized that Rav Chaim's garments were completely soaked to the gill. He said, go quickly, change your garments. But again, the point was that his entire mahus was Eisek HaTorah. And that is the ultimate in Yer Shamayim. So all of us have to be mischazik with Limud HaTorah. And all of us have to be mischazik in our tefillah. And that hakara, that Einon Bavado, even a short tefillah, which he said pshat in that Rashi in Bishalach, even that short tefillah will be answered. The third Godel Batera, whom I went to visit with my yeshiva a number of times, was Agon of Yitzhak Shiner, Zechatzai Debrocha, the Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenetz. He was an astounding personality, Mosek Midvash V'Nefes Tufin. I rarely in my life was zochet to such sweetness, to such a beautiful personality. He's an American-born Rav, Pittsburgh, out of the steel town in Pennsylvania. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, his initial encounter with the world at large was through a public school setting. There were no yeshivas in Pittsburgh. There was no day school there when he came around. And later he was zoicha to learn by one of the Gdolei Ador in Torah Das, Hagoyin of Shlomo Hyman, who was, of course, connected to Baruch Ber, the Kamenetz of Rosh Hashiva. And eventually he married into the Kamenetz of Rosh Hashiva's family, and he himself became the Rosh Hashiva of Kamenetz. One of the things which was very astounding to me about him, for a fair number of times I went to hear the Shmuzin, the Sichot, on Shabbos when I was in Yerushalayim. I would go with my brother Shlita to hear the Shmuzin of Agoin Rav Stern, who was the Mashgiach of Kamenetz. And who would be sitting there in the front row? Agoin Rav Yitzhak Shiner, who was much older than the Mashgiach of Kamenetz. And yet, he was such an anav and such a beautiful personality. We came with him, with Anglo-Saxons and Americans, any number of times to shmooze with him, to talk to him, to get the bracha from him. And he was so receptive and so open. Really another remarkable Torah personality, Gadol BaTorah, that Klal Yisrael lost. And the fourth is Hagoyin Rav Avraham Twersky. He's probably known most as a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist, I think, who must have authored about 60 books, minimally. I was lucky to hear him many, many times.
I think it's 80 or more.
I'm sorry?
Over 80. I think it's over 80.
Okay, I apologize for my lack of knowledge in that area. But I know that he wrote many, many books. He penned many books, but that was not really the Fiyadi Yazdaiti. He also had a Chassidish Varmkeit to him that was really amazing. But at the same time, the entire Twersky family is well known for their incredible ability to interact with the world at large. They are themselves great scientists. They are lawyers. They are literally occupying every profession imaginable. They were able to create somehow the ability to interact with the world at large in the most beautiful way. And he was an incredibly warm individual, known for his work in the area of drug addiction and alcoholism and the like. And that, those are the topics I heard him speak about any number of times. Many times I met him in Eretz Yisrael, and many times I met him in Teaneck, New Jersey. That probably, I imagine, Mr. Bricks, Lita, maybe you had that wonderful opportunity to meet him in Teaneck. So he davened in both places. I met him in Eretz Yisrael, also at a number of different tefillah venues, and met him in Chutz Laaretz as well. He was a very, very sweet person as well. unbelievable blow to Klal Yisrael. Four massive Talmidei Chachamim kimat in the period of 2 days. And the Aveda is so gargantuan, each one individually and certainly all of them collectively, what they did for Klal Yisrael. Again, I'm not now discussing Hashkafa. That's not the topic at hand, but simply the recognition that there are giants walking in our midst, and all these giants walk with such an anova, such a modesty, and such a humbleness, and such a humility, and such a tznius, that in and of itself is really something amazing. The greater the gadol, the greater the pashtus, the greater the tznius, and often their godless is hidden, is masked behind this simple kind of presentation that they present to the public. And there's no question that these are all individuals who made a massive contribution to Klal Yisrael. I'm sure that contribution will be spoken about for many years to come. Yehei Zichram Baruch. I feel the need to talk about tefillah specifically because of primarily the corona, and as I mentioned in the context of my introduction, there's no doubt that Klal Yisrael, in a time of Mitzuka, in a time of Tzara, we turn to Hashem Yisbarach. And we just heard what I said over from Rav David Soloveitchik Zatzal, that lo eis ata l'harech v'tzvila, but if someone cries out to Hashem, b'chol libo, b'chol nivchei nafsho ma'odo, then even a tefillah tzara will be accepted by Hashem Yisbarach. So I wanted to comment on, again, psukim that I actually had spoken about on Shabbos, and but like to present it a bit more carefully, and that will be our introduction to the topic of tefillah and tefillah b'tzibur that we're going to speak about. Hopefully you receive the Mar Mekomos that are in front of you. So in Parshas B'Shalach, you'll look at the first few pages of the Mar Mekomos that we presented. Klal Yisrael's in this very beleaguered kind of situation. And we know that the Torah describes that right away, when Klal Yisrael's be'eis tzara, so quickly we turn to Hashem Yisbarach. The Egyptians are pursuing us. Ufaro hikriv. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael seneyem b'nei Mitzrayim noseh achareyem. So the Rishonim point out, the Rabban and others as well, that normally the Lashon of Tzaka is the Lashon of Tzfilah. And that we know from many, many Gemaras in Maseches Tainis and elsewhere. And usually the Targum translates Lashon Tzaka in terms of prayer, Tzli, Tzlusa. And yet here the Targum deviates, and the Targum translates, Uzi'iku b'nei Yisrael kodem Hashem. It's true, Targum Yerushalmi translates it as Lashon Tzli, but Targum Onkelos is very precise and not translating it that way. Lashon Ze'aka. Lashon Ze'aka is generally found if someone's in pain, so then there's a Ze'aka. There's a cry that wells up internally from within the individual. Why did the Targum change his translation? And this happens a number of times in Chumash, and the Rambam in Mor Nebuchim was very fond of Targum Onkelos, primarily because of his diuk, because he was so medakdek, and secondarily because he was very careful not to describe Hashem in any kind of human expressions. He was concerned about anthropomorphism and anthropopathism, and that's why the Rambam was a big fan of Targum Onkelos. So here Onkelos somehow decides to change his translation, not Lashon Tzlusa, not Lashon Tfila, but rather Lashon Ze'aka, which is a description of someone in great pain, someone who's in a state of tsar, someone who has ke'evim, all types of Rachman Litzan difficulties, physical difficulties, physiological difficulties. And the pasuk goes on to say that Klal Yisrael cry out to Hashem. And actually prior to that, the Lashon is Ufaro Hikriv, also a very striking Lashon. Rashi himself already asked the question. He should have said, Ufaro Karav. What's the Hikriv? So Rashi cites from Mechilta, Hikriv Atzma ben Isamets Lekadim Mithnein Kamosh Yisna Yimam. He had told his soldiers, normally generals or people of stature, are going to be behind the scenes. They're worried about their own protection. Yiparo was ready to literally throw himself into the foray in a very frontal kind of way. So Klal Yisrael cry out to Hashem. And then a moment later, the pasuk says something which is incredibly striking. Vayomer el Moshe, hamibli en kvarim b'mitzrayim, lekachtonu lamus b'amidbar, mazol sasis alonu lotziyonu b'mitzrayim. Aren't there graves in Egypt that you decide to go ahead and take us in the midbar? What did we do? Halozeh adom asher dibarnu alecha b'mitzrayim le'mor, chadal mimenu v'navdu es mitzrayim, ki tov lanu avod es mitzrayim, mimusenu b'amidbar. So offhand, we are thunderstruck. What is the nature of this tefillah? The Torah is describing the tefillah of Klal Yisrael. And how do they express themselves? Aren't there enough graves in Egypt? Why did you take us to die here in the Midbar? What is the nature of this tefillah? What kind of tefillah is this? And this is the reason why the Targum, in one word, already has given a remez, a hint, that this tefillah is lacking. And the Targum translates, instead of Lashon Slusa, Lashon Zaoka. In other words, essentially, what Klal Yisrael said, and even though Moshe Rabbeinu responds to them, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, in the next pasuk, you give him Vayom Moshe Alam Al Tirou, he siatzvu ru'u es shuras Hashem asher yaseh lachem hayom, ki asher ri'isem es Mitzrayim hayom lo sosivu l'rosom od ad olam. Hashem yilachem lachem, v'yatem tachav rishon. So there's another striking Rashi that also the Gur Aryeh, the Maral Prague, noticed, again, on the language of Vayitzaku, that the Targum already told us, does not refer to real tefillah, authentic, genuine tefillah, but the Lashon Zaoka. Rashi translates it in a strikingly distinct and extraordinary fashion. It says, Rashi Vayitzaku, in Pasuk Yud, Tofsu Umnus Avesam, as opposed to saying his follower. Rashi should have said they davened. Instead, what does Rashi say? They latched on to the profession of their forebears. Namely, Rashi then cites Psukim, the Gemara has in the fourth parak of Brachas, where the Gemara tells us who enacted what tefillah. Avraham Avinu enacted Shachris, Yitzhak Mincha, Yaakov Mariv, and Rashi cites the Psukim that are relevant. So clearly we're talking about tefillah. But Rashi does not use the language of his Hispalalu. Instead, Rashi says, Tofsu Umnus Avaisam. They latched on to the craft, to the profession of their forefathers. Why did Rashi simply say they prayed to Hashem? And furthermore, as I just mentioned, when one examines what they said, expressing a desire to return to Mitzrayim, that tefillah is clearly lacking, to say the least. What is the nature of that tefillah? That tefillah obviously is, from every perspective, leaves a lot to be desired. So all the Rishonim asked the Kasha, and we see that in effect, Rashi already and the Unkelos already are alluding to the fact that this tefillah is lacking. The Ramban answers this question in Pasuk Yud Yud Aleph, and the Ramban is in front of you. The Ramban says, Einenu nireh ki b'di adam ha-tzorkim al Hashem lo-shiyan yivatu b'yeshua she'osa lahem. Why would an individual who's crying out to Hashem for salvation, why would he kick? Why would he reject? Why would he dismiss categorically, summarily, the Yeshua that Hashem is extending to them? B'yomu ki tov lahem shelo yitzilam. Aval anochon, the Ramban cites a famous Medrash Chazal. The Medrash Chazal tells us that Klal Yisrael were terribly divided. We were in a situation of great divisiveness. We were divided into several groups. One group was sincerely crying to Hashem. One group denied the efficacy of Nevi'im, rejected the Yeshua of Hashem, and said it would have been better had we not been saved. And that's why the Ramban points out, sometimes the Torah uses the term B'nai Yisrael, and sometimes the Torah uses the term Am. What's the distinction between the term B'nai Yisrael and the term Am? So the Ramban cites the Medrash. that Bnei Yisrael refers to those pious, sincere, and devout Jews. And Am refers to those Jews that are lacking in Amunah in Bitachon. And that explains why the Maral, the Gur Aryeh, explains the language of Rashi. Tafsu umnus aveisam. They latched on to the umnus of their forebears. Rashi doesn't say his palalu, because the tefillah was lacking in authenticity, was lacking in genuineness. And you look at the Ramban again, he points this out very clearly. Hanochon, said the Ramban, on that pasuk Yud Yud Aleph, Shenefar Shem Kitos. We're talking about Klal Yisrael being splintered. V'akosu Yisab Kol Masha Osu Kulam. Omar Ki Akata Achaz Soekes Al Hashem. One group was clearly davening to Hashem. V'acheres Macheshes B'Nevio. The second group denied the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'eno Bocheres by Yeshua Anasi Yisrael. V'alzoz Kosuv. V'yamru Al Yam B'Yamsuf. Ulekach yachsi akosu b'nei Yisrael pam acheretz vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem ki atovim mayem tzaku al Hashem v'anishorim moru b'dvaro. And the Rabban goes on to say, ulekach omer achrei chein, that's why vayiru omes Hashem v'yaminu b'Hashem Moshe Abdo. It doesn't say vayar Yisrael asayar agdola vayiru Yisrael as Hashem v'yaminu, but it says ha'om. Ki b'nei Yisrael shem liyichidim. B'nei Yisrael refers to those yichide skula among Klal Yisrael. Very unique, distinct individuals. And the Ramban goes on to say, the Torah uses the other language, ha'om, shem lahamon. That refers to the masses. V'chein v'yilonu ha'om, v'kach eskira abosenu v'yachal ha'om, kol mokum shenem ha'om, l'shom ginayu, v'chol mokum shenem ha'yisrael l'shom shevachu. When I see this Ramban, I also think, unfortunately and tragically, of our present situation, even during the corona season, that unfortunately Klal Yisrael is so splintered. We're suffering from such divisiveness. We don't have a clear position. I think we should have a clear position, but unfortunately that's not the case. The Ramban goes on to explain, the Efsha Olomar, the same Ramban, there were undoubtedly people who had emunah, were davening to Hashem, they were not necessarily assured that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Manu Yisrael who's going to be able to effect this kind of salvation. Even though they saw also Samosim, they thought perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu did it but they're a chokma, or because of the wickedness of the non-Jewish world. That's why they were subjected to Makos. And he goes on the Ramban and comments right away on Unkelus as the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. And he also cites the Rashi. So the Ramban literally also was very incredibly sensitive to the tone of the Psukim. Unkelus Tirgim Mikam by Yitzaku Zeiku, Asov Inyan Tarom, Asloma Shalom Yispalulu, Aval Yemisruam Yim Lefonov. Ramban points out that we have this expression, not necessarily b'lashon tfila, but b'lashon zaka elsewhere. And then he cites the Rashi. In the Mechilta, b'yitzaku tafsu lehem umnus aboseyem. B'yomu el Moshe, amibli en kvarim b'mitzrayim. He cites the Gemara Brachos Daf Yizayin. They want the power to essentially leave the scene. Right away, the conclusion was our tefillos are essentially been rejected. So an astounding statement of the Ramban. In other words, perhaps one could more or less summarize the position of the Ramban that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, now is not a time for tefillah. Namely, this kind of tefillah, which is lacking terribly, now is the time for Mesiras Nefesh. And they should go ahead and plunge forward into the sea, show the commitment to Hashem Yisbarach, a demonstration of emuna is the order of the day, and only then did Hashem perform the nes of Kriyas Yamsuf. There's a very striking Arachayim HaKadosh here that is kedai to mention as well. And even though the Arachayim does not mention two Yom Tovim that I'll mention in a moment, but perhaps he's referring to that as well. The Arachayim lays down the very fundamental principle. When Klal Yisrael commits a particular chet or avera, so of course our obligation is to do tshuva for that chet, for that avera. And that is something which will, be'ezah Hashem is barach, that will be recognized by Hashem and hopefully will once again reconcile with him. However, says the Arachayim HaKadosh, if there's a kitrug against Klal Yisrael, namely, that our lives are on the line, and what I mentioned earlier is what the Arachayim HaKadosh refers to, the malachim, who are the defense attorneys for Egypt, they argued, halalo of the Avodah Zarah, halalo of the Avodah Zarah. Why should there be a distinction between the Egyptians and between Klal Yisrael? Both of us are wallowing in Avodah Zarah. Klal Yisrael were Memte Sharituma in Mitzrayim, and the Egyptians were of the Avodah Zarah. So why should there be any distinction? Of course, the answer the Medrash cites is a very significant answer. Halalo of the mitoch ratzon, halalo mitoch ones. We were anusim. We were operating under extraordinary circumstances. We were together of an ones, ones achmana patre. The Egyptians didn't mitoch ritzonam. So the Arachayim HaKadosh suggests when there's such a kidrug against Klal Yisrael, literally, we're on the threat of death, chas v'shalom, then doing a particular act of tshuva, or maybe ta'anios, or tefillah, that's not going to carry the day. What is required then are acts of mesiras nefesh. Mi l'Hashem Eloi, as the Shevet Levi did in the context of the Chet HaEgel, that's what we have to demonstrate, that we are completely committed, totally, absolutely, to Hashem Yisbarach. So I thought perhaps one could see in this Arachayim HaKadosh a contrast between two Yomim Tovim, Purim and Chanukah. The Gemara says in Megillah, Neiman, why were they punished in the gates of Achashverosh? We have the edict of Haman HaRasha, the Hashmid, the Aragot, the Abid, the Skola, Yehudi, Menavi, Adzokain, Neshenenu, Mesudah, Shalaisa, Rasha. The Gemara says in Megillah. With reference to Chanukah, there it's a totally different situation. Chanukah is an issue of Misyavnim. Syrian Greeks attempted to prevail on us, to absorb their Syrian Greek culture, their philosophy, their values, their Weltschang, their entire world perspective. So that already was a completely different issue than a specific chet or avera. The case of Purim, the Navi tells us, the Megillas Esther indicates and records very clearly that the proper response was, Lech kenosis kol ha'yudim asher b'shushan. V'tzumu alai. V'altoch l'v'altishtel shosh ha'shem v'laylu v'yom. Gamani v'narasai atzum kein. V'v'chein avo al ha'melech ha'shaloch hados ha'chasher avadeti avadeti. What Esther told Mordechai, that requires tightness and tefillah. However, in Chanukah, where the issue was far more reaching and far more profound, and far more dangerous, because there the issue was one of Rachman al-Islam, assimilation, acculturation. So there the response had to be that of Matasyahu Banov, who are ready to be Mesav Efesh. This is the Yisod here of the Arachayim HaKadosh. He doesn't mention Purim and Chanukah, but I believe that it's clear that the Yisod of the Arachayim HaKadosh could be applied to both the Yom Tovim. So just summarizing what is happening here, both in terms of the Ramban and the Arachayim HaKadosh and Rashi and Targum Onkelos, we see the nature of this tefillah left a lot to be desired. They were, to a large extent, Klal Yisrael were in an insecure situation, suffering from terrible insecurity. Their emunah, their bitachon, was sorely lacking, and therefore tefillah was not the proper response, but rather, what was required now was an act of mesiras nefesh. And their insecurity caused them to lash out against Moshe Rabbeinu, and even speak Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chafetz Chaim Zecher Tzadik Livracha writes any number of times in his Sefer, Shmiras HaLoshen, he points out that Lashon Hara is often founded upon a sense of insecurity. A person who is secure, a person who has a proper self-esteem, a person who has a healthy sense of himself, has no need to build himself up by knocking others down. He cognizant, that person is aware of what his koiches are, or what his talents are, And he understands that other people have other unique talents. Kishem shepratzufeh minim shavim, kach deoseh minim shavos. That person doesn't carry any chip on his shoulder and only sees the good in others. However, if a person is insecure and suffering from a lack of a healthy self-esteem, he'll often have recourse to saying Lashon Hara. He'll speak poorly about others. He will think erroneously that that will give his ego a certain boost and resolve his issues. And that approach, of course, says the Chafetz Chaim, is completely incorrect, totally unfounded, totally misguided. Only when Klal Yisrael realize they can be Meisa Nefesh and they can demonstrate Amunah and Hashem Yisbarach and thereby recognize their own innate abilities was their sense of security at that point restored, and only then did Yeshuas Hashem come to the fore. So that's important as well from this parsha. Number one, to recognize, firstly, the Koach HaTfilah. As I mentioned, the name of Hagoyin of Meshulam David Alevi Soloveitchik Zatzal. And as well, recognizing each of the talents that Hashem has given us, develop a proper, healthy self-esteem, a sense of security, which will obviate any false need to speak Lashon Hara or Rechilos about others, and thereby, unquestionably, that will be a factor in bringing about a Gula Shleima. Let me just make perhaps a few more comments about Tfilah, and this will be the preamble to the discussion that we'll have in Mitzvah Hashem in the next few days. Chazal tell us that there's nothing greater than Tfilah. G'day l'Tfilah yesem imasim tovim. Moshe Rabbeinu, in terms of Masim Tovim, there was no one greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, and yet Dafka Moshe Rabbeinu was answered through Tfilah. And Tfilah is greater than Niman HaTorah. And Chazal tell us in the Medrash, Lo Yotzu Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim Elai De Tfilah. That was the venue by which we were able to leave Egypt because of the Koach HaTfilah. And the Tfilah of every single individual is recognized by Hashem Yisbarach, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Poisel Tfilas Kol Beria. Every one of us has the Koach HaTfilah. And Chazal said, Gemara Nida, Ma Yaseh Odom B'yechkam, Yivakish Rachamim Yemisha Chochma Shaloi. And with Leah, the Koach HaTfilah that she displayed was Avat Al-Gzeira, and she even preceded her sister in many respects. So Tfilah has an incredible power, and of course, the main mile of Tfilah is Kavana. When I was in day school, my baby used to say, Tfilah b'loi Kavana, k'guf b'li neshama. Person who dabs without Kavana, it's like a body without a soul. Even though b'di'evim, one is Yotzei, Pasuk Rishon of Kriyashma, and the Bracha Rishon of Shmon Esrei, but at the end of the day, u'la'ovda b'chol levavchem, ezeu avodah shebelev, is the Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Tfilah, and the Omer Zut Tfilah. And Ein Tfilosu Shul Adam Nishmasam Ke Mesim Nafshu B'chapo. First has to daven with great kavana. And we see from Rav David Soloveitchik Zatzal that he interpreted the Rashi in the most incredibly striking way. Lo Eis Ato Laharich B'Tfilah. Even a short Tfilah, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ke'el No Refon No Lo, the Gemara in Brochus. But Tfilah is also one of the most difficult and one of the most challenging enterprises that we have. The Gemara says in Brochus, Arba Tzvichim Chizuk. Among the things that require Chizuk, one of them is Tfilah. And Rashi over there translates that Gemara, She is Chazik Mehem Tomid U'Bechol Koichai. So one has to really nurture and develop and refine one's Tfilah. And certainly there are a number of ways of doing that, but unquestionably, Tfilah is the key. And what we're going to talk about in Yitzhak Hashem in the course of the next few shiurim is the importance and the critical importance of davening b'tzibur, and that to a certain extent has been taken away from us in the corona period, very tragically. And Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal in a famous tshuva has a well-known comment that even though the Lashon HaRamim is yishtadel odom, and says in Mechaber also like that, person should be mishtadel to daven tefillah b'tzibur. But the Igros Meisha points out it's a chiyuv gomer, mikra adin. He quotes the Gemara Psochim and Menvav, but the Gemara says that a person mechuyev to walk in front of him, adal minim, or behind him, till the meal. That's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. And there's a very fascinating Maram Chalavla that he has a comment over there on that Gemara Menvav. I have to be learning Psochim this year. He says the following, He says a person who davens has the ability to go to shul, but davens home. Achman Litzan, he speaks about that individual as being a balgaiva, and ein lecha bizayon godam mizeh. The entire tzibur is davening in shul, and you are not mishtatef. You decide to take the easy way out. Ein lecha bizuyim godam mehem. And there are people who don't go to shul because of a certain degree of gaiva. They don't give them the proper covid or whatever the situation is. And the Mishnah Berurah says in Siman Tzadik, Sifkot Chav Zayin, Afilu Bishvil Teira, also Levatel Tefillah B'Tzibur. Hagoyin Moshe Feinstein as well as a famous tshuva where he talks about someone who learns late at night to the wee hours of the morning and can't wake up in the morning, can't daven B'Tzibur. He feels that's inappropriate, even though the person obviously is L'Shem Shamayim. But tefillah is something, and tefillah b'tzibur especially, is something that one has to be exceptionally careful about, because the koyach of tefillah b'tzibur, the Gemara says in Brachos, that hein kel kabi lo yimas, hein akodesh bochum moyes b'tzilas n'sharabim. But the ikar mitzvah is dafka d'davin in the Beis HaKnesses, in the shul. Also Gemara in Brachos, hein tefillas n'sharabim nishmas el Beis HaKnesses, and someone who doesn't enter Beis HaKnesses is called a shohin ra, is Gorim Golos Labanov, and the Medrash writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you daven, make sure you daven in a shul, the chatchila are not supposed to daven in a chotzer, or outside. The Gemara says, HaMespala HaChoy Bez HaKnesses Nikra Rasha, and that's also inappropriate. Many years ago, I wrote an article when I first came to Eretz Yisrael and noticed all the Motzei Shabbos, what I called Moonlight Minyanim, on the streets. And I wrote an article about that, against that. And l'chatchila, one should try to daven in the shul, because they are particular Beis HaKnesses, Mokum Kavua in the Beis HaKnesses, and certainly there's no question that that's what Chazal mean, Yerushalmi, Ashre Yoshe Veisecha, referring to Bati Gnesios and Bati Midrashos, people who have the schus of daven in the shul, and that schus to a certain extent has been taken away from us in the context of the Corona season. Hopefully, Bekarav Mamish will be zoche to come back to shuls, both in Kavua. We'll be able once again to reach out to Hashem Yisbarach using the modus operandi of Tfilah B'Tzibur, and Halavai the Ribbono Shel Olam should answer all our tfilos, and Kol Yisrael should once again be zoche to the simple pshat in the pasuk Ki Beisi Beis Tfilah Yikari L'Kol Amim. It has a reference to the Beis Hamikdash, but primarily to a Beis Knesses, a Beis Medrash, where we can daven together with Achdus, with unity, and our tefillos, the power of the tefillos that we have in the Batei Knesios, the Batei Midrashos, will hopefully go up to Bezen Shalmala, and Ibn Shalom will be gozer for us only B'soros Tovos, Yeshuas and Nechamos, and any Xeros that are unfortunately presently extant, all the Magefos, should be eliminated. Hashem should remove from us all this magefo, all this pandemic. And once again, we should be zochah to come together and Be'ezah Hashem, be able to daven to Hashem Yisbarach, Berina, B'Ne'ima, B'Meher B'Yomeinu, Amen B'Yomeinu.